I started last week talking about sanctification, and I want to review very quickly and get right into what I want to talk to you about. But sanctification simply means this. It means to separate from profane things and dedicate to God. The Bible also tells us that He is holy, and we're supposed to be holy like He's holy. He says to come, we're a peculiar people, to come out from the world, if you will, and be holy as He is holy. In other words, what I'm telling you is you can't be holy and live like the world. It's impossible. Another definition of sanctification means to dedicate people to God. And I like this one. To purify internally by the renewing of the soul. The soul, that mind, will, and emotion part of us. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. The spirit is the pneuma, or the breath of life that's in you. When you stop breathing, you're dead. And your soulish realm, your mind, will, and emotions is encapsulated in the spirit. Because you don't have emotions when you're dead. The spirit leaves, it takes those things with him. All right? You don't have thoughts, you don't have emotions, you don't have feelings, nobody pokes you and you say, well, that hurt. It's not the way it works. So that's gone, okay? And then you have a body. If you're here this morning, you're in a body. Guaranteed. You're in a body if you showed up this morning. And that's the physical existence. That's how people see us. When you're unsaved, none of the three, the spirit, the soul, and the body, are in alignment with the Holy Spirit. They're not in alignment with God. They're out of alignment. They're not in alignment. They're running crooked. But when you get saved, your spirit gets saved. But your mind, will, and emotions still look crazy. Amen? These parts have to be renewed. They have to be restored. They have to be transformed according to God's word. You follow me? And so today I want to talk about sanctification, the move. The move. Now, God has the power to zap everything that's in your life out of the way if He so chooses. How can He do that? He's God. He don't need permission. He didn't need your permission or my permission when He created everything. So I promise you, if He created, the Bible says that He created everything that we see from things that were not seen. They weren't existing. You can go build a house, but you got to get wood from a tree that already exists to build the house. And God took nothing and put two pieces of nothing together and came up with this. He's good. That's what I'm telling you. He's just that good. Amen? And so God could, but He won't, typically. Well, I've seen it a few times, but typically He won't. He requires you to move to Him. Why is that? Well, God's unmovable. He's the benchmark. He's here. He's not moving. He's the one that we come to. Not, He didn't come to us. All right? So in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to talk about the move. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. I don't know if I get to all of my scriptures there or not, but just go with me. If I jump around, amen. In Ephesians 4, 17, it says this, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." When you got saved, you moved to God. You came to God and said, "Lord, I need you to forgive me of my sins. I repent." And you didn't do a 360. You done a 180. 360 gets you back in the same direction you were going. We're going to do a 180, all right? And what he's saying is, to these Ephesians, you were there. You were in ignorance. You were blind. But we need to change. We need to move. Watch this, verse 19. "Who being past feeling," in other words, past the idea of sensible thought, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. He said, there's some Gentiles among you that live like this. They've moved past all morality. You believe that? You believe that we've moved a lot of people in America today? I don't know about the world, but I'm just saying America has moved past some kind of basic bench line of morality? Calling evil good and good evil, saying this person and that person could be married when they're the same sex, that's wrong. He says this to the Ephesians, but you've not learned that. But you have not so learned Christ. In other words, that's what you know, but you need to learn Christ. You need to take another step. You need to move toward Christ. Until the church moves toward Christ, we become more and more like the world. The church is trying really hard to become worldly. We don't like to use words holiness. We don't like to call out sin because that offends somebody. Well, sin offends God. So if it's between you and him, guess who's getting offended? You. Me. Amen? It says verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So he's saying, if you've been saved and you're being taught by him, watch this. That you put off, who puts it off, Christ or you? You're saved, but you got to put off some things. You put off concerning your former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You got to get rid of that. That person in you has to die. We talked about you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And these things become new, but the old things pass away. So when you get right with God, then there's this process of continuation of letting God do things in your life that's not pleasing to him. Get rid of those things. It's hard because we have our own lust. And I'm not talking about the eros. I'm talking about we have lust of things, covetousness. We lie because we want to be better. We want to outdo you. Come on, somebody. We got to get rid of those things. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit, watch it, in the spirit, small s, of your mind. Your mind, that spirit in your mind, it's got to be renewed. You're not the old way. You cannot, watch this, you cannot continue to do the same old things you did pre-Christ. There has to be some change that you've got to do. You have got to put some things in place so that you can move forward. I'm telling you, it'd be great if God come in and zapped something. I've went past and got past a lot of things in my life, but not one of them did God just instantly take from me. Now, I've known people that he has, okay? I'm not saying he can't or that he won't, but he can something, but he's never done that for me. It's always, as my daddy said, son, that's a hard road to hoe right there. And so I have to do things. You have to do things. Verse 24. And that you put, boy, there's that word again. So you put off something concerning the former. You put that off in verse 22, and you put on in verse 24 the new man which is created according to God. In what? True righteousness and holiness. If the old things appeal to your deceitful lust, and the Bible says that the new person in God is righteousness and holiness, that means there's a difference between the old and the new. And you can't stay in the old and become new. The Bible talks about wineskins. And they would take wine skins and they would have to put fresh wine into new wineskins. Because the old wineskins, when the fermentation process and all this stuff begins to happen and the acidic nature of the grapes and things, it would actually tear the new wineskin. Can't do it. Same principle. When God comes in, there has to be a change. Oh, you still got the same body. I looked in the mirror. I still got the same one, Woody, that I had yesterday. But I had hopes I'd have a new one. Looked different, but it didn't. Come on. If I want it to look different, I got to do something different. Trip, you know what I got to do? I got to start eating different. Exercising. I know y'all thought I exercised. Well, I don't. Never crosses my mind. Somebody asks, you ever thought about exercise? No, never have. But if I want to look in the mirror and see something different, guess what? I've got to do something different. If I don't like me, if I don't like what I see, guess what? I've got to change it. The Lord's not going to mysteriously come in my house and empty out the cabinet of Little Debbies. You would? Amen. Well, let me know where you put them. I'd like to have some. You see what I'm getting at? I've got to do something. I've got to tell my wife, don't bring those things home. I've got a lust for Little Libby. The cakes. And I hadn't yet brought myself to tell my wife, don't bring them in. You know what I do, though? I'm making a point. You know what I do, though? I'll eat one, and I'll say, well, this is my cheat for the day. Come on. I need to get a little grace here. I mean, I'm not trying to be overnight, you know, slim. Come on. We do the same thing spiritually. We dabble in a little sin, but I'm under grace. And I'm not trying to be perfect overnight. Well, you're doing a good job at it. You ain't gonna get there either like that. You won't get there overnight like that. You have to do something with this thing called the Word of God, with righteousness and holiness. You do. I can't do it for you. We can sit in my office and talk for weeks on end. And I can tell you what you need to do in this, but until you go do it, doesn't matter. When I do counseling, one of the first things I tell people, and I want you to understand this, you've got a marriage problem. I don't have one. When you leave here, it is still yours. Just because you tell me about it, it doesn't become mine. It's yours. And you got to go work on your problem. Are you tracking with me? Same thing spiritually. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, now look, you got a problem. You've got to work on your problem. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome it. Because he gives us sufficient grace. Verse 25, there's a subheading in my Bible that says, do not grieve the Spirit. Then he goes on to list these things. Now, it's right after, this, we got to put off the old and put on the new. And then he lists these things that are a problem to humanity. Not just these are problems to humanity. You ready? Therefore, put away lying. Some of you say, well, I don't lie. Well, you're a liar. I don't lie. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. It's so much easier just to be angry and sin. I got half of it right. I'm angry. Does that count for something? It's kind of like being second. Does that count for something? No, you're just first loser. Now, that's not what society says. Oh, you get a trophy. Everybody gets a trophy for just being here. Okay. Well, that's wonderful. You see how that's turning out, right? Okay. Just want to make sure we're on the same page. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Watch this. Nor give place to the devil. Do you give place to the devil? Oh, no, not me. Are you sure? You know what giving place to the devil looks like in real life? You ready? Participating in gossip. You know what giving place to the devil looks like in real life? Letting stuff come through your television that's inappropriate for you to watch as a Christian. The phone, that's right, television, phone, yeah, iPad, computer. That's what's giving place to, well, it was just a clip. I mean, as soon as I saw that bad part, I cut it off. Oh, well, so you saw it. You knew it had rated R on it before you watched it. Boy, I'm right down here where y'all eating today, ain't I? You want to be sanctified? You got to do something in this thing's what I'm telling you. Quit waiting for God to zap you into something and saying, I'm just waiting on the Lord. 40 years I've been waiting on the Lord to do it. I don't know if you know this or not, but God's got a little more time than you got. He's waiting on you. My wife has a dog. Big German Shepherd. And every morning I get up and I get my stuff going. And at about 6:15, when I sit down with my cup of coffee, my Bible, I look over at these two double doors that are fully glass, and this dog is looking at me. Just staring at me. So I thought the other day, I'm going to put this dog in its place. I'm just going to stare that dog down. After about 5 minutes, I realized this dog is not going to lose. She just kept there with her head cocked, looking at me dead on. Like, are you going to get up? I'm here all day. Matter of fact, this is what I do things like this in my house. The dog is talking to me, I think, saying, this is all I got to do all day right here. You're going to feed me or your wife's going to feed me. I'm right here. I'm in this sunroom called a massive doghouse, and I'm just going to leave here and I'm going to come back in. But I'm right here. What you going to do? It's like the dog knew I didn't have time. Is that the way you are looking at God? Lord, I'm just right here. I'm just going to wait on you. And God says, well, you let me know how that turns out in about 40 years. You tracking with me? The move is up to you. The move is up to you. God's already provided everything you need, but the move is up to you. It says, verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, get a job, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Well, that's a brand new concept. I saw a deal on social media the other day. Said that there's some 40, I don't know how true this is, it's from Facebook, it could be a complete lie, but it's probably pretty good on the number. 46 million people are dependent on the government for food and stuff. And the thing went on to say that the national parks is also run by the government, says now please don't feed the animals because they get dependent on it and don't know how to take care of themselves. Well, what a novel idea. Come right out of the Bible, looks like to me. Quit stealing, go to work, and help others. Well, praise the Lord. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Uh-oh. But what is good, what should come out? Here it is. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. If you sat down and I sat down and before I said anything and I asked myself these two questions, now is this going to impart, it's going to be good, it's going to impart grace to the hearers? Let's read it again, verse 29. And is it going to be necessary? Am I going to edify? And is it going to be good for the hearers? If we were to do that, half the people could not talk. They would have not much to say. Oh, I've been there. Still do it from time to time. Don't mean to. It's part of me moving. Boy, you're loving this. I know it. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Watch this. Let all bitterness. Now, this is what you do. You could put I right there. Let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Do you think the Holy Spirit comes down and make you say bad things? I mean, do you? Well, who do you think it is? It's you. The deceitful lust, those things that draw you away. It's you. It's not God. So we have to put off those things in order to draw close to God. The bitterness, that's tough. I know it's hard. The wrath, the anger, the clamor, the evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Being tenderhearted doesn't feel near as good sometimes. I just need to tell them what they're doing wrong. They need to get it. And I think if I tell them, they'll get it. I wanted to tell somebody something yesterday. Amen. We're in Memphis. I got behind a vehicle in the left lane. I got a beautiful, precious wife. You know what she said? She didn't even look over at me, Fonda. She didn't have to look at me. I'm like right there. I hate it if you're an Ole Miss fan. God bless me. I'm still working on them, okay? But he had an Ole Miss sticker on. I said, there's a problem. No, and I'm right there. My wife never looked at me, and she said, don't let it get to you. It's not. Lord was seeing where I'm at, I guess. So we had a wonderful day on the way back home. There's the driver in the left lane again. My wife said, you're fixing to get ticked off, aren't you? Yes, ma'am, if he don't move, I'm fixing to. I'm at the boiling point. See, I got to work on that. God really didn't put that car in front of me. No. I got to work on that for me. God hadn't pulled it from me, I promise you. I told you about it last week, didn't I? Happened this week, too. Woo. But I'm better. Be kind, be kind to one another, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So if we looked at every time we wanted to beat somebody up or demean them or take them down a notch or talk about them, gossip about them, what if we said, now, let me just see about this in verse 32. I need to be kind to them and tenderhearted and forgive them like God forgave me. That'll work on you. Do you think you would respond differently if you first went through verse 32 before you let verse 31 take over? Get it tattooed on you? Yeah. Worship team, if you'll come back. Still talking about the move in Ephesians 5:1. So we just carried right on. Okay, this is a letter. Okay, Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5. Man put numbers and chapters in so it's easier to find stuff, okay? You understand that, right? It's just a letter. It's just a long, like long letter. Amen. And so we pick up in verse 5 and says, therefore, same context, same everything, okay? It just flipped the page. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Who are you supposed to imitate? So you're not supposed to fall subject to the deceitful lust in your spirit. No. You're supposed to be imitators of God. Watch this. Walk in love as Christ has also loved us. You think God loves you? You think God has loved you? How much do you think he loves you? A lot? Well, you ought to love a lot. That's what it says. He's also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So for you, God sacrificed Jesus, and that death upon the cross, a burial and resurrection, is a sweet-smelling aroma to God. You figure that one out. You know why? Because he loves you. He wants you to be saved, and that was the process for you to become saved. Now that, you come to him, you ask, and you're saved. This sanctification thing is a problem for us. We need to work on that. And it shouldn't take 40, 50 years on one thing. God's bigger than that, and so are you. Ephesians 5:3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Those things shouldn't be even talked about. They shouldn't be in the church. What are they? Fornication. Well, if it wasn't Family Sunday, I could tell you what it means right down where you live. You getting it? And all uncleanness and covetous, that you want to desire from of others. Let it not even be named among you. It shouldn't be part of our conversation. Verse 4, neither filthiness. He's not talking about taking a bath. He's not talking about using a certain soap so you're clean on the outside. He said filthiness ought not even be in the church. It ought not even be talked about in the church. But yet we almost want the world to be, or us to be like the world. We want you to feel welcome. Let's don't offend you and hurt your feelings. Well, that's why they are the way they are, because some pastor didn't tell them. Some good Christian didn't tell them you're sinning and you're doing wrong, because we don't want to offend them, because they're going to be pushed away and we may never win them to Christ. Well, that's not your job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw them to him. You plant seeds, and if they don't know they're doing wrong, how will they know to do right? Paul said, if I had never read the law, I wouldn't have known I was doing wrong. But when I read it, I realized, wow, I've got a problem called sin. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. You ought to give thanks rather than these things, but giving thanks don't feel that good. But boy, me talking about you does. Me telling you, Woody, how you ought to do makes me feel some kind of, this is what people think, they would feel superior to someone else. We are a sick individual. You probably need to get saved. Probably. Woo, quiet today. Verse 5, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. You can't do those things and still expect to get your little cabin on the backside of Hill's Half Acre. It's not the way it works. We need to be sanctified. And I didn't say saved. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. You need to be sanctified. A daily washing of the word and the water of the Holy Ghost so that you can become more like Christ. That's the goal. Not to be more like the world. In verse 6, I like this. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. What is empty words? When you don't tell them the truth. If it's not truth, it's empty words. The truth, because the Bible says it's the truth that sets you free. Not empty words, the truth. What is truth? God's word. That's a biblical worldview, by the way. It says, verse 7, are you ready? This is against church culture right now. Don't be partakers with them. And a preacher, you've taken that out of context. Well, you go get before the Holy Ghost and you tell him to rewrite it for you. Because what it says is, therefore, do not be partakers with them. You can't go do what they're doing and be like them all the time and expect you to become holy. That's like me saying, I am losing weight, but my cabinet is full of little Debbies. It's not going to happen. It is empty words. That's what it is. It is foolishness. It is crazy. Doesn't make good sense. But when we're involved and we want to do our way, our thoughts don't make good sense sometimes. So I'm going to close with this and tell you a story. I like stories. I like real life stories. How many of you like real life stories? I love real life stories. It's about one of my family members. They love it, Doc Russell, when I say something about that. Everybody cringes like... Talking about the move. Talking about the move, okay? You with me? Sanctification, the move. You've got to move. You've got to do something, right? You got to do something. Now, why does God want us to be sanctified? Why does God want you to move from the old to the new? So you can be better, right? So you can better serve what? The kingdom to edify and lift up, right? Are you with me? You tracking with me in up there? You okay? You tracking with me? So it's for us to be better as a person, as a Christian body, right? We're to grow together and be fitted and move and do things so that we can build the kingdom and edify and glorify God. That's the purpose. So, tell you my story. You ready? Y'all ready for my story? Or you want to wait till next week? Okay, it's a good story. So, this thing happened a few weeks ago. I don't think I know your name, but I'd like to.
David.
David, if I pick on you. I'm not picking on you. I just like you. I like your hairstyle. I like it. So a few weeks ago, I went to watch my little Lexi play soccer. And the coach had her in a position that I didn't approve of. Come on. Now, I know that if you've raised kids and the coach put your child in another position, you are perfectly okay with it. But she was on offense, and she put her on defense. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the coach. Where's mama at? Not you, mama, but her mama. Okay, well, there you go, Daddy. So the coach, one of the coaches is a coach at Delta State University. Is that correct? The younger. So she's a coach, like at a college. She kind of probably knows something, right? She gets a paycheck for knowing this stuff. So she's on offense. I like offense because offense scored, and you get scored, you get yahoos. Are you with me? Right? Everybody likes a person that scores. Come on, church, wake up. Yay! On defense, it's like, well, we don't know. He moved it from offense to defense. I didn't like it. Or she did. I thought, this is not going to work for me. She didn't ask me, though. She don't even know my name. She didn't ask my opinion. Didn't ask me what I thought. Nothing. Kind of sounds like God. Anyway. And I didn't like that. She played there, and I thought, I'll tell my wife on the way home, I don't like where she's at. She is not as effective right there. She needs to be down there. She needs to be kicking that ball in there. She's pretty good on that end, too. Really good. I said, I think she needs to be up there. And so it's been on a few weeks. But yesterday, we're at a tournament. She's playing up, so kids a grade or so above. See, what the coach could see that I couldn't see is that she is a grade under. She hasn't got there yet. Are you tracking with me? And the coach knew, David, that she, being Lexi, would be better served in a defensive position where her stature and her speed, come on somebody, could be more beneficial for the team, not Papa on the sidelines. Are you working with me? You tracking with me? And so yesterday, in all this other playing, I'm not happy. Till yesterday, they played some really good teams. And had it not been for her in that spot, and the whole team, but I'm speaking of one, it would have been a terrible runaway by the other team. But because she was more aggressive in this position and not as intimidated, come on somebody, because when she got next to those taller girls, she was a little intimidated. You are too, right? But back here she wasn't. And she played the game great. Saved many, several, field goals. Not a goalie, she wasn't a goalie. She's up toward the center line. And after the game, I thought, man, boy, she did good. Boy, I'm sure glad that coach come around. Sure glad that coach took my idea, put her up there where she could get run over and beat up and wasn't near as effective. See, sometimes, parents, if you're raising kids and grandkids, shut up. You're not the coach. Regardless of what you may think, they're the coach. They may have something brewing. Watch me. They took a little while to get to where it needed to be because the first game I didn't like it and she wasn't that good. She was relearning, watch me, relearning a new position. She had to make a move. And in that move, there was some renewing of what she had been doing. You can't go this far. You can't go over here. You got to do this. You can't go past that line. Come on, are you tracking with me? But after a few weeks, she got that down and said, this is my space. I got it picked up. I got it. I got this one. And I thought about that yesterday on the way home last night. Man. God does the same thing to us. Sometimes there's some moves that you don't like, and maybe some people around you don't like. Maybe some family members don't really care, and they want to talk to God the coach about you. Sometimes we just need to zip it and say, Lord, what are you trying to do through me in this spot? What is it that you need me to, watch me, relearn? Because I don't know everything about this. I'm brand new at this God thing. I'm brand new at learning how to get rid of some old me and get some new me. Lord, what do you want me to do? Are you ready? Listen to the coach. Come on, listen to the coach. How do you do that? You get in God's word. He's got this awesome, marvelous, meticulously laid out game plan called the Bible. And it's specifically designed for you in the spot you're in. Woo! It's a preach. I hope you're getting it. And so now we see when she moved in this new spot, how much better, watch, the team become. See, the coach was like this. It's never about one player. It's about the team. Oh, God's all about you. Don't get me wrong. He's all about you. But he's also about the kingdom. And there's some things in you that he needs to get rid of. And he needs you to say, I'm going to lay them on the altar so that I can make you the player. I need you to be right here in the workplace, at the hospital. And hey, it's mechanical. Down to Superior, wherever you work. If you'll just let me, I can get rid of some of that. Now, there's going to be some opposition along the way, me getting you where I need you to be. But I got this. Watch. I have studied. This is what God said to Coach. I've studied the opposition. I know his game plan. I know his next move because I'm God. I know what he's going to try to do to you. I know exactly what he's going to try to pull from you. I know exactly how he's going to attack you. But if you get it in the position I put you in and say, God, what do you want to do? I got it from here. Because I know that in the end, and I'm not talking about when you die, I'm talking about in the end, when this thing has come to fruition, I'm telling you, God says, I have accomplished what I wanted to accomplish in your life right there. Next. There'll be a next till you die. God's wanting to accomplish something in your life till the moment you take your last breath. I'm talking about being sanctified to God. I'm talking about making the move. The move from where you are. Praise God, you're here. And making the move to where God wants you to be. I'll make one last suggestion. Don't be like your pastor, me, and try to be the coach. Let God coach you. You know, it's confusing when the coach is at the bench and they have signs at these big terms that say, no parents behind the benches. Wonder why that is. Right? No parents behind the benches. Didn't say I couldn't get right up next to it, though. That's what we try to do. We want to kind of get right up next to it. I still want to have some input. Those girls are terribly confused when I go to a soccer game. Because I'm coaching them from this end. And the coach, the real coach, the one who gets paid, has the knowledge. I don't even know all the rules of soccer, okay? Come on, somebody. I'm preaching right where you're living. You don't even know all the rules. You haven't even read the whole thing, probably. But we're trying to do this on our own. We're saying, hey, get away, girls, get away, get away. Come here, come here. Y'all this. And the coach is like, what are you doing, you idiot? I'm the coach. I got it. I got the certificate. I'm the coach. He's got the certificate. He's God. Let him be God. Will you let him be God today? Will you make a move today? Will you make a move today? Will you make a move today to say, Lord, I'm not comfortable in that spot. But if that's what you want, like Mary, Lord, nevertheless, not what I want, but what do you want? Just like Jesus, Lord, I don't really like this cup that's put out in front of me, but Lord, it's not what I want to do. What do you want to do? And I'll do it. Will you stand across this building? Lord, what do you want to do in this house? Lord, who do you want to move in this place today? Lord, who is it besides me, Lord? Because I know I got to move. Lord, who is it? It says in their heart, in your spirit, on the inside of you, that inward thing that we read about in Scripture needs to change. Who is it that says, Lord, I'm so uncomfortable right there. That makes me so, I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I don't know the outcome of this. I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't know if I can do that or not, God. But I tell you what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to jump in with both feet. Are you in this house? Is that you? Well, I'll tell you, I am. I'm at the front of the line. Is that you? You say, I need to make a move, and I need to let God do what he wants to do in my life. The first move you got to do is say, yes, Lord. That's it. Yes, Lord. If that's you, I would love to pray with you. I'd love to have some believers come along beside you and pray with you. I don't have to know. I don't want to know. Don't care to know. But if that's you and you want prayer, would you make your way to these altars? Because we're going to have some prayer team that's going to come and we're going to pray with you. You need some things in your life. You need to move toward God. Is that you? You need to be repositioned by the Holy Spirit. Is that you? Will you make your way? I know that there's more people than that in this house. Will you make your way down? Will you say yes to the Lord? Lord, whatever you want. I'm still on the team. I'm uncertain. But Father, what I know, what I do know, is that you're the coach. And you're going to put me in the best position that is suited for me. And Lord, where I'm at, it's going to be the most beneficial for the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the move. Thank you for the move of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the move of the Spirit in this place that's moving upon our hearts. Thank you, Father. Father, we love you and we thank you. We worship you. Will you, that are still remaining in the seats, will you stretch your hands this way and begin to pray? Begin to pray for those that have said yes to the Lord and they want to move. And if you run out of things to pray for them, pray for yourself. Thank you, Father. Father, we love you.